What's poppin', Westchester? This is the Westchester Pop.
Happy whenever you're listening to this. I'm with the man, the myth, the legend, whatever adjective you want to use. Shannon Larkin is the drummer for the immortal band Godsmack. The band is going to release next month, that's May, their sophomore release, Awake, on vinyl. And they're touring. How is the tour going? You guys are kind of in the middle of it right now. Yeah. You're also having coffee right now, and I'm very envious. I'm interviewing you right now outside of a Dunkin' Donuts. So now I am really envious, but what is up, my man?
Well, if you're outside of Dunkin' Donuts, why don't you have a nice coffee?
Short on time, my friend. Short on time. I didn't plan accordingly.
I'm in a hotel room in Indio, California. Nice. After a show in LA last night, which, you know, playing LA is always, it's always weird for bands because that's where everything, all our management and labels and agents and all that stuff is, you know, so it's always, oh, tomorrow's LA, you know, but I try not to let that affect me. It was a good crowd, another great show, I thought, but we've been out on this Vibes tour for, we did 5 weeks, we rehearsed for 2 weeks first, in where our headquarters is and our jam room is up in near Boston in New Hampshire, right? And we did the first 2 weeks of rehearsal in like mid-February, and brutally cold, man. It was awful. But the rehearsals went great, and we kind of landed on something we feel special here. And, you know, we beat up America last year and played all the markets for like 7.5 months out of the year on tour in support of Lighting Up the Sky, our new record. And so we knew that this year, you know, we can't hit those places so soon. We won't sell tickets because everybody's seen us, if not twice, you know. So I had the idea. I'm like, to the guys, we were all together, and I was like, let's do an acoustic tour. Because, you know, we could play theaters, the warm, beautiful theaters. They sound great. And we released a record in 04 called The Other Side, and it was an acoustic record, an EP, and toured on it. And that's the only time we ever toured that wasn't on a big show with Pyro and all the, you know, our gig. And I loved it as a drummer. You know, it's just without the big walls of amps, you know, every little bell and just the tone of each drum. And I just loved playing like that. And so my brilliant leader and singer, Sully Erna, said, you know what, dude, that's a good idea. But what would be a great idea is if we kind of, we do the acoustic songs, we play some stuff from The Other Side and it's like One Rainy Day, all four, you know, those kind of tunes, but we also play some of the bigger songs. So we do a hybrid of acoustic electric without all the bells and whistles in theaters. And so the 2 weeks rehearsals went great, and we felt like we got a really good set list together. And so we went out for 5 weeks and then took a 2 week break and then came back just 6 days ago to do this second leg of it, which it started with a big show in Phoenix, Arizona, and we played Bike Week. And honestly, you know, what they offered us was just like, wow, okay, we'll do it. So we kind of broke off with no rehearsals, dude, and played like Straight Out of Line, which is a song off Faceless. We haven't played that song in like 6 years. No rehearsals. went on in front of like 20,000 bikers, man, and it was so awesome. And then the next night, we traveled over to some place near outside of San Diego. And it was right back into this vibey, trippy, mellow concert. And, you know, so now at my age, I'm 56 years old. I was like, I'm arguing with myself on which one I like better. Man, this tour feels so good.
Tell me about vibes. What is the vibe when you guys, you know, as an audience member, obviously it's different when you're seeing something acoustic stripped down. What is it like when you and your boys are on stage doing something like that? Like, how is the vibe when you're on stage rather when you're rocking out, you know, something, you know, with the pyros and everything, when it is stripped down, what is the vibe between you guys on stage?
Well, you know, for me as a drummer, when we're playing the heavy songs on the big stages, then I try to kill my drums. I play through my drums. I'm trying to break my drums. I feel lots of tension and I feel every lyric, which his lyrics in the heavy stuff, they're kind of dark and foreboding, and you know, a lot of relationships that he's been through. He writes about himself and real experiences that he's had. So I try to emote my drumming through the lyrics and the song, right? And so I'm just in kill mode. And this, I'm in chill mode. So it's kill mode versus chill mode. And every one of us feels the same. And we look at each other on stage. Sully comes back to the drums, just like he does at the big show. But on this show, he's got a smile on his face, you know, rather than, oh, you know, we're getting it, boy. It's like, hey, man, we're jamming, son. And it's rad. And it feels like, you know, our whole like vision of how we should present ourselves on this are mushrooms and lava lamps, you know, try and flow like water.
Yeah. Do you find yourself, it's kind of different when you're in it. Do you focus more on the lyrics? I mean, as an audience member, you know, as an audience member, when you're part of the crowd, it's hard not to focus on the lyrics because you're singing it slower. You're letting it absorb more, right? You're focused, maybe not like you're focused less on the music, but the words are hitting you harder. Do the words hit you harder when you're actually playing?
Oh, well, you know, it all starts from the very beginning of the song, and we get in a room and we're writing this song. And so we're concentrating and focusing on our musical parts for our instrumentation of how, like, if it's a ballad, obviously I'm not going to try and play like Neil Peart, you know what I mean? And and so, you know, that comes first typically with this band. Some bands will have a lyric and melody and write the song around that. We typically start with the music first, right? So I'm thinking of drums in a completely different way at that point, and how I'm going to integrate them with the song, the bass, and the guitar. And the vocal comes later, and my drums definitely change once I get the vocal, because I've always tried to be a very emotive drummer. And if you've seen me play, you'll understand what I mean. I try to feel the song from what it's trying to say, not just musically, but the message that he's trying to portray in his lyrics. And so my drums, after I get my initial track that I feel is right for the actual musical part of the song, then he shows me the lyric and starts singing and playing with melodies. And so, like, I might put a fill in between a line, two lines that he sings, because it feels like it needs something there, where I wouldn't have put that fill there if I didn't hear the vocal yet. You know what I mean? So right. my playing definitely depends not only on the lyric, but on the phrasing and the melody and the message that he's trying to get across. And like I said, I try and be emotional as a player.
Are you the same drummer now that you were back then? I mean, you've also been with the band for over 20 years, but like, would you say your drumming's changed, your style, same approach?
Yeah, you know, it's odd for me because I don't really listen to heavy music, you know, like, and I did, and I was a thrash and punk kid, you know, I'm 56. So, you know, I totally, as a teenager, was into the SST, Alternative Tentacle, Black Flag, that Kennedys, you know, and I grew up on the East Coast in West Virginia, so we had Minor Threat and Bad Brains, and all this exciting and vibrant punk rock was being born in our country. You know, this is after the initial 77 Ramones, Sex Pistols punk rock, but I guess you call it an American hardcore punk, had started to come out, 1980 with the Germs, 1981, you know, came all the bands that really influenced me as a, you know, a 12, 13, 14 year old kid. And and then thrash metal came in 83, 84. I was right on the Metallica thing and saw them in clubs, you know, on Ride the Lightning and all that. And so my first band was a thrash band in which I was, and then I went to another band that was a metal rock band, Ugly Kid Joe. And then I did a punk band. And so by the time I got in Godsmack, I was 32, I think, 32, 33 years old, 21 years ago. And over the last 20 years, you can hear, you know, our progression from what the record Faceless, my first record with the band, is to what Lighting Up the Sky is. And particularly our last record, Legends Rise, which I feel was our most, you know, commercial sounding record. And over those 20 years, I guess to get to my point is I just started rediscovering all these 60s and 70s rock bands. And I always loved Rush and stuff, but I started listening to other like progressive rock, and you know, it kind of, it didn't change my love for punk and thrash, but as I got older, perhaps maturity of the soul or something, but the music that I really remember sitting in my room as a kid, like loving on, I mean, I lived for this music, now sounded different in my ears. It wasn't giving me the audible pleasure, you know, that music always gave me. And so I started listening to like the records that my parents would play. My parents weren't musicians, but they were very musical. And so, you know, like after dinner, instead of going right and watching TV like a family, and it was just the four of us, my father, mother, my sister, and I, and instead my dad would see downstairs to listen to records before you know, watch the boob tube, he called it. And so he would literally make us come downstairs, and as a family, you know, the four of us, we would listen to all of my parents' records, which were like the classics, you know, from Beatles and Stones to Waylon and Willie to, you know, Doobie Brothers, and all the, you know, the greatest hits of the 50s and 60s they had. And so as I aged, I don't really listen to like Metallica or heavy music anymore, although I love and respect the genre. I don't know if I'm getting this across. It just doesn't make my ears happy as much anymore, you know? And so like, that's what just gets me back to this Vibes tour. This Vibes tour, you know, after this big Phoenix show we did to start off the second leg of this, I really am going, wow, man, I think I like this part, this band, this version of Godsmack better, you know?
Like, what do you tend to listen to?
Right now, I'm really into Donovan. I mean, that's me. It's just become an obsession almost with me. But, you know, I still have a daily dose of David Bowie's Black Star, which is my penultimate favorite album, my Desert Island record. It's become, I don't know, it just encompasses everything that gets me off at my age, I guess. You know, it's the one. And well, what else? I've tended to now put on like a Apple Music playlist. I found they have like psychedelic hits of the 60s, you know, and I'm discovering, not even rediscovering, shoot, I wasn't born when some of these records came out. I'm discovering for the first time like the 13th Floor Elevators and all these like trippy bands that I'd never heard of. My parents didn't have some of the psychedelic stuff, you know, and oh man, just the creativity and back then, and just the like the free will that these dudes had as players, and you know, it was like you could tell they weren't making music for the radio, or they were making music for, you know, to get in touch with the universe, you know what I mean? So that's basically, you know, what I've been listening to for like literally the last 3 or 4 years. I've just been on this kick of trying to discover new old bands.
Nice. Talk to me a little bit about Lighting Up the Sky and just playing songs from that. And I know it's obviously been out for a while, but it was the last record. And like, where the next chapter for Godsmack after your touring?
Oh man, I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, I'd like to answer it, but we're just kind of, it's been a long decades together, and we still like brothers, by the way, you know, we love each other. And then he announced Final Record, Sully, you know, and we all agreed, by the way, when the idea was brought up, but, and then there's of course second thoughts being thrown around by Amy, maybe not our final record, we'll see, you know. So we're kind of like, I can't answer the question about the future because we don't know, and that's the truth. Like we're kind of like, we know that we have 4 more weeks on tour, a month on the road, we get home May 6th, and we know that we have a 2-month break, which is much needed actually, and we know that we have six shows in the summer, and they're advertised, they're booked, and so that's like a little mini 10-day run or something, 6 shows in 10 days, which we're looking forward to, and they'll be the big shows. This will be the end of the vibes thing at the end of this month, you know, unless we pull it out in the future. Again, I can't be Nostradamus here, but I know we all enjoy this a lot, but you know, we're bread and spread on the big shows. That's what we do. That's what made us that and rock radio. But after the 6 shows over the summer, our plan is to do a final run for Lighting Up the Sky cycle tour, which will mean, you know, whatever's next is going to be next. Do we go and write songs? We don't know where our headspace is going to be. And, you know, and we're all growing older, you know, and don't want to tour as much. We know that. So that's hence the 6 shows this summer after, you know, we beat up America, man, for almost 8 months last year. And if you think of that, that means 4 months at home, right? But it's not 4 months at home. It's like 2 weeks here and then 5 weeks on the road and 10 days home, then 6 weeks. So, you know, it's like that. So, you know, you never unpack. I didn't unpack my suitcase last year. And so after the 6 shows of the summer, we'd like to tour in September and October. And that's the plan right now, to try and get into the arenas in the fall and put a fork in the Lighting Up the Sky cycle tour. And then we will definitely take a break. It might be 6 months, you know, a good break after having worked for the last, by that point, 3 years on this cycle. And we usually do that. If you look historically, since I joined in 21 years ago, we put records out every 4 years, and how it's worked out is a year to write and record the record, 2 years to tour on it, and then we take a break for a year. And we, you know, we're blessed and lucky to have been able to do that, and we thank God and the universe for that, because a lot of bands don't get the opportunity to take time apart from each other, and we think, I attribute our faith and love and in each other after all these years to that, being able to separate every three years, you know, and find ourselves, our real selves again, and not become these cartoon characters that being in a band like this is, you know. But the problem is with the fall is that we haven't found, we need another band, you know, to do arenas, we got to have another band. Like, and we reached out, like, to Korn, I'll say it, you know, and they're already booked. And there was other bands too that we reached out to, you know, that we feel are, you know, where we're at, you know what I mean? We need another headliner, do a co-headliner in the fall. So there's some other bands I can't disclose right now, simply because, you know, if it didn't happen, then it's all, man, you know. And but there's some hopeful opportunities to go out with cool bands in the fall. And then, like I said, we will literally take a break at least 6 months and figure out, you know, what we want to do next in our career. There was never talk about breaking up, by the way, the band Godsmack, you know, like when we talked about Final Record, the initial thought that Sully had was, you know, we've made all these records, and it's such a dilemma to try and write a set list every tour because we're going to let fans down. You know, what? You didn't play Straight Outta Line, which was a number one hit or whatever. And we haven't played that a long time. Lots of number ones that we don't play because, well, you got 2 hours, you know? And we like to do this drum solo thing, and we like to do some covers, you know, and have fun up there. So what happens is, well, and it's a great problem, but, you know, too many, like, hit songs or whatever to put in a show. So his thinking was, his reasoning was, you know, why we make another record when, you know, we could have already passed into that nostalgia zone where, you know, we need to make the people that put us here happy now and we play all the hits, you know. And so we all said, hey, man, that's a great idea. And again, we've been in Groundhog Day in the cycle tour thing of make a record tour, make a record tour, make a record tour for 21 years for me with this band, but I've been doing it for 40 years total. I've been in bands before this since I was very young. So to me, it was a brilliant idea. I was like, yes, let's not make any more records. You know, let's just concentrate now on, you know, like kind of aging gracefully in this business, you know?
And there does come a time where there is that heat of shut up and play the hits, right?
Yeah.
But now, I mean, you're in a position where you can kind of shut up and play some deep cuts and some songs that you haven't played, right?
Yes. And although in small venues, you know, like if we tried to take this to the amphitheaters, the sheds, or the arenas, you know, it wouldn't work. So, it's to us, to me, I can speak for me on this one. I prefer being the drummer and at the, usually on the big shows, we're on a 60 by 40 foot deck. I'm 30 feet away from the front of the stage. The crowd's 15 feet away from that. So I'm like 45 feet away from the front row. I can't see anybody out there. And I can feel the energy, particularly from the bigger crowd. You can feel it. It's real. It's like how the moon has an energy that moves our oceans. The crowd has an energy that moves to me, and I can feel it. Right. So I always have that. But what I don't get is any kind of personal connection, you know, with the people singing the words, or, I mean, people cry sometimes. You know, there's emotional moments in the show that I am in tune with when I'm playing the theater. So my favorite gigs have always been the theaters. And plus, in America, or not even that, in the world, usually the old theaters, you know, they were made in a time before amplification, some of them, you know, or proper amplification anyway. So they're acoustically designed for sound to travel off the stage. So these stages, particularly the old ones in America, some of these old theaters we hit, they're wooden. And so it sounds so warm, and it's not as brash and harsh as like the arenas and these big concrete stages at the sheds, you know. And so it's been my favorite way to play at theaters since I can remember. Because, you know, you dream as a kid starting, you know, to get into the arenas, because that's where you saw, you know, your first concerts and stuff, you know.
Right.
But then when you get in the arenas, you realize, oh, my God, you know, I can't see anybody really. And it's freezing cold because most of them have ice hockey, and they just put boards over the floors and they keep the AC in the backstage area, you know, back where the players are, like at 67. And that's, I don't have an ounce of fat on me. I'm freezing my ass off in those arenas, man. So I'm like, yeah, man. I'm like, I don't look forward to the arena. The sheds I like better, though. You know, the amphitheaters are cool, and I can even see the crowd a little better in those. It's you know, but man, theaters, I love this. I love this. I'm looking really forward to the rest of this tour, this vibes thing. And so far, our fans, our friends, our family, everybody's like saying that it feels magical, and it's a special incarnation of this band, because it's not just the four of us, and we brought out Timmy T on guitar and Chris Decato on keyboards to fill it up. And, you know, these guys are just great dudes and they're funny and they're cool, but they're just supremely talented also. You know, they're very, you know, top-notch musicians, you know. And so it's been an extra added element, fun element, you know, especially with me. I love keys, man. I love hearing the organs and so it fills my ears with pleasure.
Yeah, it's like it's a real experience, but also just like a real connection, you know. Listen, man, I'm gonna let you go. Really excited to see you guys. I'll be at the show, and it's a pleasure from your Candlebox days.
Yeah, I still talk to those guys. I love Pete and Kevin, man.
Yeah,
but well, thank you for this interview. I appreciate it. You're great.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Peace. Be good.
Peace. Bye-bye.